Thank you for the introduction and good morning. As you've heard, I will be explaining why micronutrient balance matters to an insect herbivore. These insects you see here are Schistocerca americana, and they were raised in our culture. These insects, along with all organisms, require a suite of macronutrients and micronutrients in order for their survival. There are approximately 30 of these nutrients overall, and two of these macronutrients are carbohydrate and protein. All of these nutrients, along with the insects and the foods they eat, are composed of elements. And the study of the movement and balance of these elements is called stoichiometry. Like stoichiometry, ecological stoichiometry studies these elements and chemical substances and their movement and balance, except they only focus on ecological interactions in which these occur. The important elements that ecological stoichiometry focuses on include three different sets. The first set are nutrient elements, which include carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, iron, and magnesium. The second set, ion elements, include calcium, potassium, and sodium. The third set are trace elements, copper and zinc. The nutrient elements are mostly important because they are the major biological structures in all organisms. The ion elements are important because they play a major role in nerve and cell function, and also ion gradients. The elements we'll be focusing on today are the nutrient elements, specifically carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus. Carbon's importance lies in the fact that it has the highest ability to store energy of all elements. It also comprises approximately 40 to 50% of most organisms' dry mass and is the backbone of carbohydrates. Nitrogen is important because it has been found to be a limiting growth agent in many studies. It also comprises 8 to 12% of an organism's dry mass and is a main component of amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins. Lastly, phosphorus's importance is in nucleic acids, DNA and RNA. It also has an important role in ATP. ATP is 18% phosphorus and is most likely the most P-rich molecule an organism uses. Due to this, we feel that phosphorus also might be a limiting growth agent. One might ask where all these elements are found. Well, the simple answer is these elements are the chemical makeup of the organism and the foods that they eat. So when an insect is in the field, they have to rely on plants to obtain these nutrients, but not all plants are created equal, meaning that different plants will contain different quantities of macronutrients. And these varying amounts of macronutrients help determine the quality of the food. Two of these macronutrients that we're going to be focusing on are protein and carbohydrate. They form the two axes of our model that we use called the geometric framework. The geometric framework takes two relevant variables, expresses and relates them to each other in a geometric space. With this framework, we can easily see the levels of protein and carbohydrate that an insect would optimally like to achieve. In our case, with past experiments, we've shown that Schistocerca americana, if given a choice, will try to regulate to a 1-to-1 protein to carbohydrate ratio. In the field, an insect has to pick and choose which foods it eats, and usually does not have one optimal food source available to it. So if we define an insect's actual feeding space by a line that has a high protein concentration to low carbohydrate concentration, and a high carbohydrate concentration to protein concentration, we would call this the insect's feeding space. And if the insect has an optimal diet, we will see that it will choose a 1-to-1 ratio to reach its intake target, which is its optimal performance. And I will use the geometric framework to explore how macronutrient balance affects the flow of elements from foods into an insect herbivore, specifically looking at carbon and nitrogen. I will also explore the impact of macronutrient bottlenecks on the flow of non-macronutrient elements, such as phosphorus. For my experimental protocol, we have an arena layout, as you see here. We have a wire perch, a water cup, a food dish, and the experimental insect. The way our experiment is set up, grasshoppers, we use Schistocerca americana grasshoppers. They are a suitable model organism because they eat artificial foods and can be reared very easily in the laboratory. They are collected from the general culture as they molt into the final stadium or their sixth instar. And upon molting, grasshoppers are weighed and then analyzed for elemental content. And when these insects molt into the sixth stadium from the general culture, they are placed into the arenas and the experiment runs until the grasshopper dies or molts. For my experimental diets, we have two sets of diets. One set has a 42% total macronutrient content, and the other set is a equal ratio. The first diet, our optimal diet, is a 21-21 ratio. That's 21% protein and 21% carbohydrate, represented by this line here. Our other 42% macronutrient content diets include different dilutions. We have a 7% protein, 35% carbohydrate, represented here, and subsequently a 14% protein, 28% carbohydrate, 28% protein, 14% carbohydrate, and 35% protein, 7% carbohydrate. The diets that will be green throughout the rest of the presentation are our equal ratio diets, and the diets that are brown are our, the rest of the 42% diets. We also have the diets that have equal ratios, which include a diet of 7% protein, 7% carbohydrate, again the 21% protein, 21% carbohydrate, and lastly our super concentrated diet, 35% protein, 35% carbohydrate. When we look at our growth rate over the course of the experiment, this emphasizes the optimal diet being 21-21. When we start to move away from this balanced diet, we see shifts to lower growth rates. When we look at our equal ratio but lower concentrated diet, we actually see a slight increase over a diet that has 7% protein and 35% carbohydrate. And when we look at our super concentrated diet, we see a growth rate that is even higher than our 21-21 or our optimal diet. When we compare diets 7 and 7 and 735, we see these two diets have the same amount of protein but differ in their levels of digestible carbohydrate. And we also see low levels of growth. And when we compare our diet that has 35% protein, 7% carbohydrate to diet 35-35, we see a dramatic difference in these two diets. When we look at the carbon gained on these diets, we see that carbon gain is associated with high carbohydrate diets. Again, our 21-21 diet is our optimal diet and shown here. And when we look at our other equal but diluted and concentrated diets, we see that our 7 and 7 diet is extremely low and our 35-35 diet is again extremely high. One of the most interesting and significant findings that we've found is that nitrogen gain appears to be dependent upon digestible carbohydrate availability. When we view our 21-21 diet compared to our 14-28 or 28-14 diet, while not significantly different, there is enough data for us to believe that because of the equal balance of the 21-21 diet, it again is our optimal diet. When we look at our 7 and 7 and 35-35 diets, we see that the increased concentration or decreased concentration influences it also. The most significant finding is that for diet 7 and 7 and 35-35, we do not see any significant difference, even though that there is five times as much nitrogen in the 35-7 diet as the 7-7 diet. When we look at phosphorus gain, we do not appear to see any relationship to equal macronutrient content. It is significant to note, though, that as you increase concentration, at least with the 21-21 and 35-35 diet, there does appear to be an increase in the total amount of phosphorus gained. In summary, macronutrient balance influences some elemental flow. Carbon gain is directly related to the amount of carbohydrate or digestible carbohydrate in the diet, and dietary digestible carbohydrates limit nitrogen gain. Phosphorus gain does not appear to be related to macronutrient content, and we are also investigating other elements and their relationship to foods with equal macronutrient content. I'd like to thank Dr. Tony Proven for help with the elemental analysis, Dr. Spencer Beamer, and the members of my lab, Carl Roeder, Sean Fengjing, Dr. Steve Cook, and Travis Gates and Laura Booth. Thank you. Yes.
Yes, you talked about locusts. What's the other insects? Is there also one?
Can you say?
Other insects. You also have it one ballot as the optimal
balance. It's specific to each insect. Studies have been done with Locusta migratoria and other grasshoppers. I think Locusta actually chose a diet that was slightly protein rich, very, very similar to 1-to-1 ratio, but not exactly a 1-to-1 ratio. Does that answer your question?
At the beginning, your assumption was that it was 1-to-1.
For our insects, we ran a choice experiment also, where we gave them a choice of different diets, and they self-regulated to a 1-to-1 ratio.
Okay.